Didn't get you.
Never.
My. When I.
And I should
Had not eaten.
Bung
te. She would eat. Never. Asnate.
Had not taken bath.
Asnati,
she would take her bath.
Matpara,
always devoted to me.
Mai,
when I.
Rushte,
was angry.
Santrashta,
very much frightened.
Bartite,
when I chastised.
Yatavak,
fully controlled of words.
Vayat,
out of fear.
So translation,
King Paranjana then began to think of his past dealings with his wife. He recalled that his wife would not take her dinner until he had finished his, and that she would not take her bath until he had finished his. And that she is always very much attached to him, so much so that if he would sometimes become angry and chastise her, she would simply remain silent and tolerate his misbehavior. All the men would like to have a wife like that. So, you can repeat. King Paranjana then began to think of his past dealings.
With his wife.
He recalled that his wife
would not take her dinner
until he had finished his.
That she would not take her bath
until he had finished his.
And that she was always very much attached to him.
So much so
that if he would sometimes become angry
and chastise her,
she would simply remain silent
and tolerate his misbehavior.
So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
A wife is always supposed to be submissive to her husband.
Submission, mild behavior, and subservience are qualities in a wife which make a husband very thoughtful of her.
For family life, it is very good for a husband to be attached to his wife, but it is not very good for spiritual advancement. Thus, Krishna consciousness must be established in every home. If a husband and wife are very much attached to one another in Krishna consciousness, they will both benefit because Krishna is the center of their existence. Otherwise, if the husband is too much attached to his wife, he becomes a woman in his next life. The woman, being overly attached to her husband, becomes a man in her next life. Of course, it is an advantage for a woman to become a man, but it is not at all advantageous for the man to become a woman. So,
Namai anasate bungte nasate snati matpada mahirushte sutantrashta vartsite yatavagvayat.
So Om Meghanath Vinandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Miditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
So in general, if you want to control someone, then you act submissive towards them. Although people have this misunderstanding that if you want to control someone, you act in a nasty way towards them. You're not actually controlling. You may control their external behavior by threatening, by fear. Just like the example is there of North Korea. Anyone's heard of North Korea? No, no one's heard of North Korea. There's a South Korea and a North Korea. And North Korea is more or less controlled by this family, Sim Yong-gung family. I don't even know how to pronounce it. Anyways, controlled by this family that the father appoints his son or one of his sons or one of his relatives to become the next, they call it great leader. Ever heard of this before? It's in Korea. And the people are frightened because even if they say something that may be interpreted as a little bit critical of the regime, then they end up in some sort of concentration camp for 30 years. So it's perhaps the most intense, fear-ridden society that I've ever seen. You know, even more than Russia was under the communists, where you had the KGB spying, or the Chinese, where you had the Chinese. I mean, even when we were in China, the devotees were in China when it was illegal to preach Krishna consciousness. I mean, the most that would happen is someone would get kicked out of the country or maybe sent to a mental institution or something like that. But for 30 or 40 years, just someone being a little critical of the regime. So it's very, so people sometimes function on that basis externally, but they're really not happy. I mean, you see the faces of the North Koreans. They're actually quite miserable, and they don't get enough food. I mean, there's so many problems that the that's going on in that particular country. Not that I simply want to talk about North Korea versus South Korea. In South Korea, of course, there's another problem. They're being controlled by their census. You know, there's so much material opulence that you contrast South Korea with North Korea, and there's so much material opulence in South Korea that, you know, the people are being under the control of their tongue, their belly, and their genitals. So they're also enslaved. People are enslaved generally in this world because of fear or because of attachment. You understand the two? So you have South Korea, they're enslaved because of attachment, and in North Korea because of fear. And neither one is actually ideal. So here King Paranjana is enslaved because of attachment, because his wife is just like the quintessential perfect wife that every man has ever hankered for his whole life but has never gotten. You know, there's a promise like that. So it's described like that. Whenever he did things or didn't do things, his wife would always be there. She wouldn't even talk back to him. She would just tolerate his misbehavior. And so that sort of like won over his heart, and therefore he became extremely attached to her. And as we're going to read later on, he became a lady in the next life. And that wasn't so auspicious for him. Now, does that mean, as we were mentioning yesterday, that a wife should, in the best interest of her husband, not be submissive, should talk back, should eat first, should become angry and chastise him just to help him become detached? I mean, sometimes we find instances of this. I mean, like in Prabhupada's marriage, certainly, I don't know if she yelled at him, but she certainly wasn't a submissive wife. And there's a very interesting story in that all the Indians know. It's the story of Tulsi Das. I think I might have told it before, but it bears telling it again. Like Tulsi Das got married to his wife, and his wife was not only submissive, but she was extremely attractive. There's also that statement by Chanaka Pandit that an attractive wife is an enemy at home for various reasons. One is that other men will be interested in her, and you're going to be in anxiety all the time. And so if you marry an ugly wife, then you don't have to be in anxiety. Anyway, so the point is, he married a very attractive, nice wife, and he was just thinking of her 24 hours a day. He couldn't even carry out his normal economic development responsibilities, which he was supposed to carry out. Actually, he had been given a cloth shop by his wife's father, by his father-in-law, and that was supposed to be his business. But he was so much enamored by his wife, practically speaking, he never opened up the cloth shop. He would stay home all day long and just look at her.
And finally, when he got to open up the cloth shop, he wasn't such a good businessman either, because whenever a customer came, and the customer would say, this is a nice piece of cloth, he would think, it's a nice piece of cloth, I shouldn't sell it, it should be go to my wife. So, can you imagine that? I think most people from India know this story anyway, but most of you are not from India, so you don't know the story. So he would all the nice pieces of cloth, so the customer would come and say, I'd like that, and then he said, well, that's already taken. Someone already put a layaway, you know, the layaway plan? No, you don't know about that. In America, we have this thing, you go into the store, and you do a layaway, you put $5 down on a $50 object, and you're paying $5 a week, and then finally you can pick it up, right? That's layaway. So he would say that someone has actually bought it already. I'm sorry. All I have for you is this other cloth. And he would show people the worst cloth in the shop. And then he would come home to see his wife that night, and you always have some nice new cloth, always bring her flowers, always bring her a present. And in this way, I mean, his wife said to him, you know, basically it's similar to the story of Bilba Mangal Thakur, that if you had so much devotion for Krishna, I mean, you'd be a pure devotee. And his wife sort of chastised him. And Tulsidas, you know, men don't like being chastised by their wives very much, unless they like being henpecked. So it's an interesting expression. So Tulsidas basically left home, and he became very much embittered. I mean, his renunciation, not that he's a pure devotee, it's not exactly like Bilba Mangal Thakur. His renunciation, to a large extent, was based on bitterness towards, you know, when you actually have this loving exchange and it doesn't come out right, you just start becoming hateful. That's material love is like that, right? Lust is like that. Like we mentioned in a previous class, that you find more violence between people who have a loving or lusty relationship than you do between people who are just like at arm's length relationships. We mentioned in the other class that the higher up you go in the rasas, the reflection of the rasas in the material world, from the adoration to the friendship, to the servitude, to the friendship, to the parental, to the conjugal, the more in the material world you get to heavy emotions and anger. Of course, in the spiritual world, you do get the heavy emotions and anger too, but it doesn't become violent. And this anger and heavy emotions are actually very much relishable. Like Krishna likes to draw out Radharani's anger towards him. I mean, he never gets angry towards Radharani. That just, forget it. Never happens. But he wants Radharani to get angry with him. So sometimes he mentions her rival's name by accident on purpose. You know, sometimes he says, your face is like millions of moons. And, you know, millions of moons or thousands of moons is in that, the word in Sanskrit is Chandravali. He says to Radharani, your face is like Chandravali. Ooh, I made a mistake. And then she gets really angry. And he loves that. He loves that. So even in the spiritual world, you actually find more intense emotions the higher you get up with the rasas. You understand? The emotions up to Mahabhav, Sneha. Anyway, so this is all analyzed by the Acharyas. Up to Mahabhav, the most. Maha means great. Bhav means emotion. So it's like the most intense emotions come when, in the spiritual world, when with the conjugal rasa. So in the material world, the most intense emotions come with the conjugal rasa too, but they're quite violent and destructive. So that's what happens. So Tulsi, getting back to the story of Tulsidas, I mean, he was so bitter. Not only, he generalized his anger, not only towards his wife, but towards women in general. You understand? You know, it wasn't enough that he was angry. You know, my wife, who I love, who I adored, he actually put her on a pedestal, basically.
you know, maybe literally, but at least figuratively, he put her on a pedestal. And she turned against, you know, it's so intense that someone you really love and adore and worship turns against you or betrays you in some way. So it's, so anyway, so he generalized it, and then he wrote things about women that were not at all complimentary. And he was the one who said, you got to beat your mrdunga, your dog, and your wife, and they get better. You understand? And then, and that was misused by people within the ISKCON movement, within Prabhupada's movement. Prabhupada, he joked about it sometimes, but Prabhupada never wanted devotees to do that. You know, Prabhupada, you know, basically Prabhupada's message was that if someone were to beat a child or their wife, they should be beaten. You know, Prabhupada didn't want that. So anyway, so devotees misused that quote of Tulsi Das, but Tulsi Das had, Prabhupada said, a bitter experience with his wife because his wife didn't really reciprocate as he wanted her to reciprocate. And you find that in all sorts of relationships. When someone doesn't want to doesn't reciprocate the way you want them to reciprocate, doesn't become your servant, then, you know, you get very bitter about the whole thing. So anyway, so here we find the ideal household life. But Prabhupada gives the solution here, that he doesn't say that a husband should hate the wife and a wife should hate the husband, but he says if a husband and wife are very much attached to each other in Krishna consciousness, they both benefit. So what does it mean to be attached to each other in Krishna consciousness? I want to deal with that one. Attached to each other in Krishna consciousness means basically they understand they're each other's servants. Like we find that story when Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj was advising a newly married couple. They asked, what is our duty? You know, what should we do in life? And Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj said to the man, you should cook for your wife every day and clean for her and everything like that. Because the man, you know, generally the man wants to get married because he wants the service, because he thinks he's the Purusha, like that. And you know, a typical story in ISKCON is that some brahmacharini starts ironing a brahmachari's clothes, and then making the maha plate up for him, putting little flowers on the plate, and you know, he finds, and you know, she puts a little perfume on his clothes when she's ironing them or whatever. You know, and he finds flowers on his seat. You know, I've seen that many times within ISKCON, you know. And she looks at him furtively. That means... You understand the word furtively? You know, that's an interesting word in English. He looks up and he looks... I'm not so good at it. And he's thinking, you know, I'm going to have someone to serve me. This would be great. I don't have to iron my clothes every day and put up with these brahmacharis and the, you know, and the temple president is always abusing me. And you know, I have to, you know, just like not getting enough sleep at night. You know, so he's thinking like that in terms of enjoyment. He said, you know, as a brahmachari, I'm really not getting enough sleep every night. I have to close the temple up at night, you know, turn the lights off, get up early in the morning. So and he's thinking, it would be so nice, you know, she really wants to serve me. I found the woman of my dreams. So anyway, so then they get married. And then he finds out he doesn't get his clothes ironed anymore. He has to iron her clothes. And then, not only that, as far as getting sleep at night, there's children there. And when there's children, you don't get any sleep at night. I mean, you get a few hours here and there. You know, you get up in the middle of the night and change diapers or whatever they do. I mean, just like sometimes I have to get up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom, and I think, oh, this is miserable. You know, just a 2-second thing, you know, 2 minutes or whatever. But imagine getting up and someone's crying. In the middle of the night. I mean, it's like, oh my God. And so, so in other words, I'm not saying one shouldn't do that. All I'm saying is that there's this illusion that it's all going to be like, he's going to be like served. You know, someone's going to tie his shoelaces, feed him with a spoon. Like he's going to back to home, back to childhood, back to the womb, basically. The man, you know, the man really wants to be served because he remembers his mother, how she served him, and she worshipped him, and so he also thinks it'll be the same way with Christ. But anyway, that's an illusion. But in any case, enough sannyas talk. In any case, in any relationship, people should be thinking of serving each other, like Prabhupada said, if both husband and wife are Krishna conscious. But serving each other means not to serve each other's desires of what the people want, but to serve in terms of what the people need. You know, whether you're talking about husband and wife or talking about friendship or any sort of relationship, we should always think I'm the other person's servant. Or even the guru should think, you know, my business is to serve the disciple. That's really, really important. So, but the service has to be done in terms of this Krishna conscious need of the person, not in terms of what the person's been. Like if your husband says, you know, bring me my beer, you know, I don't think you have to do that. You have to think Krishna consciously all the time. But people get very sentimental about these things. Just like last night someone sent me a link for a video of how if you serve someone, they'll develop a mood of service, and they'll serve someone else, and they'll develop a mood of service, and the whole world will become wonderful as a result of that. I mean, in one sense, that's right. But unless it's applied in a Krishna-conscious way, you're doing a disservice. And I'll tell you what happened in the video. It's very interesting. An interesting video. Okay, so the video started with a boy skateboarding down the road. Anyone seen this video? No. Anyway, people send me links on Facebook, so sometimes I click on it. And the boy fell as he was skateboarding. And what happened is someone came and picked him up, and an act of kindness there. Okay, so he thought, so the boy was very happy, and then he went and helped the lady cross the street. Another act of kindness. So it's showing one act of kindness, which is good. I mean, I'm not denying this is good. And we do want to help old ladies cross streets. And we do want to, you know, if someone slips on a skateboard, obviously we would go there and do it. So then after that, let's see, what was the next one after? After that, the old lady goes to speak. So after that, she helped someone else do something. What was that? Oh, yeah. Someone was with a parking meter, and she didn't have the coins. So you saw this already? No. And then so she gave the coins, so the person put the money in the parking meter, and the person became very happy as a result of that. And so anyway, one person was serving, another person was serving another person. Eventually, there was someone on the street, you know, a homeless person on the street, and someone who had just received another kindness saw the homeless person without anything to eat on the street. So what he did is he went to the hot dog vendor and purchased two hot dogs, you know, hot dog frankfurter. You may not know what that is. Anyway, so he purchased two hot dogs for the person and gave the homeless person two hot dogs. So this was a devotee who sent me this link. I mean, up to then, it was pretty all right. You know, the people were helping each other. But then it got to the point of the hot dogs, and I thought, is that helping someone? Why did this devotee send me the link? You know, because you're further entangling the person in the material world by giving them hot dogs. You know, God knows what's in it anyway. And you're not even helping them health-wise, what to speak of spiritually or karmically or however. So, in other words, it's a very sentimental understanding. I mean, there's something to be learned from that, too, that we should be kind to people, we should reciprocate acts of kindness, but we have to always be in knowledge of what is best for the person and best for ourselves, rather than doing something which is detrimental. And then the example Prabhupada gives in that regard is there was one boy, he had some disease like jaundice, and which he was not supposed to eat fried food. And his brother, sentimentally, gave him, when he asked for a pakora, whatever it was, he gave him a pakora, which made him sicker. So, in other words, there always has to be a Krishna conscious knowledge. It's not simply because I'm a devotee and you're a devotee that we serve each other according to what we ask for. We should serve the person according to our understanding of Krishna consciousness. And that way, then it's all right for the people to be attached to each other and serve each other. Otherwise, service, in the name of service, we can degrade someone. This is very important to understand. We can degrade someone in the name of service. So, anyway, so there has to be this consciousness, and then the in the household life, if a man is attached to a woman, a woman is attached to a man, they're both devotees, and they're both thinking of how to please Krishna, then it's fine. It's fine. Otherwise, it will entangle one in this material world. And just one other point is, as far as the relationship, if someone has shown themselves to be offensive, then whether it's household life or friendship or whatever relationship, then you don't have to keep up that relationship anymore. An example of that is in the example of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's son-in-law, Amoga, who offended Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking prasadam at Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house. And as he was taking prasadam, he was eating quite a bit, and Amoga, he was trying to criticize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by watching and counting how many pakoras or whatever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was eating. And then he said, the sannyasi is eating as much as 10 men. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became so angry with him, he was chasing after him with a stick. Of course, he couldn't catch him because he was older than his Amoga, his son-in-law. And finally, he and his wife said that their daughter, whose name was Sati, she no longer has a husband. In other words, because that relationship was detrimental to Krishna consciousness, not only in a light way, but in a very heavy way, because this person was an offender at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet, then the relationship was broken. So we have to be careful in that respect, too, that we want to be careful of who we relate to, who we associate with, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, satsanga tyagi Vaishnava char. The first quality of a Vaishnava is to give up bad association. And so, not in the name of some sentimental, friendship. We're not just talking about marriage or man-woman relationship, but sentimental friendship, family relationship, or whatever relationship. We have to be very careful of not becoming contaminated by that relationship. Even in Raghunath Das Goswami, as we mentioned the story before, he was accepting goods and money from his parents in order to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but eventually he gave that up, understanding that that was actually affecting or contaminating his consciousness. So one has to be very, very careful in dealing with consciousness and association and all those other things, and one should be ready to renounce the whole world to become Krishna conscious. And that it's hard. It's hard because there's a lot of sentiment in relationship to this world, relationship to our body, and relationship to the association, things we have associated with this body. But if something is not productive, Krishna consciousness, one should be ready to give it up, just like one gives up the stool in the latrine after passing, like described by Bart Maharaj. Of course, Bart Maharaj gave up prematurely. But we're not advocating that everyone take sannyas. We're advocating that people accept things based on what is favorable to Krishna consciousness and reject things based upon what is not favorable to Krishna consciousness. So if the household situation is favorable, the husband and wife, they're thinking of serving Krishna in a shastric way under the guidance of Krishna and the spiritual master in the Vedic literatures, then it doesn't have to be given up. But if you're friends, you have some friendship where you're just either sentimental or encouraging each other in sense gratification, like Prabhupada described disciples who fall down. He sometimes said they were monkey disciples. That's there in the Bhagavatam. In other words, monkeys, they look at each other's faces. And what do? They encourage each other in sense gratification. So anyway, so there has to be discrimination. Not that we're against any particular order of life, any particular type of relationship, but it has to be based upon service to Krishna and help us advance in devotional service if we want to advance. I mean, if you don't want to advance, if you just want to remain here, rot in the material world, that's your choice. I have no problem with that choice. You can stay here. But we have the ability to make choices in our life, and sometimes the choices are painful. You know, there's pain. There's pain in giving up something that you're attached to. I mean, just like if you're attached to a particular type of food and it's causing you either physical problems or spiritual problems if it happens to be non-vegetarian. And sometimes it's painful giving things up. That's just, what can you do, you know? When you're getting a tooth extracted, it's painful, isn't it? I mean, I know the dentists, they advertise painless dentists, but this is, you know, that's an oxymoron. You know, painless dentist. You know, when they pull out a tooth, I mean, maybe you're out under anesthesia when they're pulling out the tooth, but when you wake up, there's pain, right? And so, you know, there's pain. I mean, I'm not going to tell you that in Krishna consciousness there's no pain. But it's like poison in the beginning sometimes, and like nectar at the end, so that requires some austerity like that. So any questions or comments about these things? Yeah.
Get rid of the purport. I mean, keeping Krishna in the center, but I'm trying to comprehend the extended analogy of the right bathing before and eating before and tolerating the misbehavior, because this is actually the aspects of the one living being described. So would you analyze
that? Why? What's wrong with that? I mean, it's just like the point is that, you know, that there's a male psychology, and the male psychology, the male wants to be served. And, you know, if he has this, he wants to imitate Krishna, basically. You know, the male is thinking he's a Purusha. Krishna is the actual Purusha. And so, because he wants to imitate Krishna, which all of us do in this material world, he really wants to be worshipped. And so it's a way of controlling someone. You can control someone, not just women, but anyone can control someone by worshiping them and acting as an obedient servant and waiting for the right moment to cheat them. Anyway, so, but you can control someone like that. Like, what does the Chanakya Panda say? Too much devotion is a sign of a thief. And I know, like, especially in New York, when you walk into the shops with as nice, I mean, people from the same ethnic background as me, I won't mention what that is, and they're so nice to you. I mean, it's incredible. Or car salesmen, even with someone not the same ethnic background as me, like, especially car salesmen are like that. Salesmen are like that. Oh, Swamiji, you know, you walk in. Oh, I haven't seen you. How is Mrs. Swamiji and all the little Swamijis? I know they don't say that. But they think like that, you know. Oh, it's great. Wow. I haven't seen you for a long time. They remember your name and you think, wow, someone really likes me. And they serve, and then after a while you find out they sold you some goods, you know, a car or whatever. So, but it's good to serve. It's good in relationship to Krishna, and in any relationship if we serve each other in that way. Forget about the whole discussion about the household life. If you serve Vaishnavas in that way, then you'll get Krishna's mercy. I mean, if you actually serve a Vaishnava, I mean, if a woman is fortunate enough to have a pure devotee as a husband, or the husband is fortunate enough to have a pure devotee as his wife, I mean, that's wonderful, isn't it? However, if someone is actually a Vaishnava, they have to be careful about getting bewildered by that. Because it's even said that that's one of the causes of anarthas. You know, you have four causes of anarthas: sinful activity, pious activities, offenses against Vaishnavas, and byproducts of bhakti. So as a Vaishnava, you maybe get served by someone. And as you advance more, you do get served. And then you get bewildered. You begin to think that it's better to read your Vyaspuja book than the Bhagavad Gita. Because the Bhagavad Gita doesn't have any pictures of me in it. In the Vyaspuja book, every other page, you meet my baby pictures and everything are in there. So that's what happens. We personally experienced that. So, okay, on that happy note...